Awkward silence. Well, good morning there.
Good morning. Good morning.
Here this we are.
Yeah, actually, like, this is the new studio setup, too.
It's beautiful.
Finally got it locked in. Still only one mic, so still very intimate, but...
Yeah, we're at an angle, but we're very close together.
We have a full TV monitor screen literally in our face. Just so that we can get the microphone at the right angle.
My eyes are drying out.
And that's
just
fine.
Just looking at it.
But yeah, hopefully this sounds a little bit better. Less sound from the mic being passed back and forth, because now we have one central mic. So instead of sitting apart from each other and passing it back and forth, we're just almost kissing the entire time now instead.
That's what friends are for.
Exactly. So today... Going Commando, episode number 2.
It sticks.
It stuck. It stuck. We tried so hard to brainstorm a better name. We sat down for a good while trying to brainstorm better names, but
yeah,
Going Commando just, it was just authentic. In the moment, you came up with it. That was solid. I can't blame you.
Pretty good.
So yeah, episode 2 of this, if you guys like it, let us know. If you guys hate it, please don't let us know. We're kind of sensitive.
Very sensitive, very fragile, especially right now.
Our egos are low.
Keep that to yourself.
Yeah. today we're probably going to go through like update of the last week and a half of since we talked to you guys last. We got a couple of exciting things to go through in that sense. We'll talk about what our plans are post step, because, you know, again, we have step coming up. And then we'll dive into the application process a little bit too. So kind of updates, and then try and give you guys some, especially for our pre-med folk out there, a little bit of advice on like how our application process went, what we did, what worked for us, what didn't work, and how to target the most effective group of schools.
Yes. Yeah. How many days away are we from the big step test?
55.
Oh my gosh.
55 days. Which is crazy, because I have this little like countdown thing on my Excel sheet, and I remember when I made it and it said like 110 days left, and
oh,
I was
no.
like, perfect, I don't have to really touch this material for a while. And then I updated it the other day and I was like, oh no.
That's terrible. That's horrifying.
It's probably the worst feature I could have put in there.
Yeah, it's like doomsday.
It is.
Oh my gosh. All right, 55 days.
55 days till that, but we have 3.5 days until our big test, our other big test.
That's right. That old thing. Yes, our school test here at UConn, which we call LEAP. And that's on all of our classes except for our clinical skills assessment, which we already did, which you just did, right?
Yeah, I did that 2 days ago.
Went all right?
Went all right. It's, so UConn does clinical skills separately, which means like you take an assessment where you go in with practice patients who are technically instructors, and you go through a whole case scenario acting like they're the patient, and then at the end they give you feedback. And we just did 7 cases for this assessment, right?
Right.
Including like one 45-minute case, and the rest are 20-minute cases. So half-day thing, wasn't terrible. You kind of just go in, get feedback. This is more of a actual in-practice type of assessment, which is nice. And it's kind of a nice break, I guess, from the regular library studying.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's also funny to think about, because we do the test and we're like, oh my gosh, we got to go do this whole thing. But like, that's half a work day.
No, that's literally what we're doing.
I guess it's a little tricky because some of it is, you know, like in the real world, patients often don't know exactly what you're supposed to be doing, or like they're not assessing you the same way.
Yeah, there's a lot more, I don't know, it's more of a checking the boxes type of rhythm when you're in the assessment. Yeah. Versus in clinic, it's a lot more like gain a rhythm, get to know the patient, all of this stuff that goes into the relationship, whereas in the assessment, which it's probably the best way you could do it, I can't really think of doing a better version of the assessment.
I agree.
But you still go through all the motions, and you have to hit certain things while you're in there. So you're constantly thinking through a checklist in your head, which, again, will make it easier once we're actually in clinic. But it just makes it relatively non-authentic in the moment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. We got that out of the way. But Monday, we have about 10 weeks of material. We got some glaucoma on there.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
have some sepsis.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
have a couple of different leukemias.
Yep.
Lymphomas.
Don't forget about the pancreas.
Oh, pancreas, pancreatitis.
Cervical cancer.
Cervical cancer.
Bad. We don't like that.
Hate it.
Respiratory stuff.
We did. Oh, and pretty cool, especially this block, we had a lot of Dr. Ryan in the house.
Yes.
Sick.
Awesome, because a lot of like our study materials came from his website, so it was a nice little parallel to what we're supposed to be doing for STEP anyway.
For sure. Yeah, and he's just, he's like such an effective lecturer.
Oh my God, yeah.
So it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. So that's been good, and that's like a good way to wrap up our final classroom material.
That's crazy to think about.
Dude, we're still students, but hereafter, we're
done with classroom learning. Like, that's, I actually was talking about this last night. We're in 19th grade right now.
19th grade.
And so after 19th grade, we're done with didactic learning, like done with classroom traditional style learning.
It's so wild.
And then we have 2 years of in-clinic learning, which is still tests and testing materials and pretty much what we've been working for, but no lecture style, no classroom learning. Like, it's crazy to think about that, because that's been our whole life, literally kindergarten straight through till now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so wild. Yeah, the other day, I remember we were sitting in class. I think Dr. Ryan was on for the first part.
Yeah.
And then we had... I can't remember what we were talking about exactly.
It might have been allergies for that class, like ATP.
Yeah. But I remember we talked about it before. Dr. Brian is an active Twitter presence.
Yes. Incredible Twitter. Again, shout out to it. You should go take a look.
Yeah. I think he tweeted during our class, actually. Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah. He kind of called us out, which was such a funny way of doing it. Because it was right at the end of class, and he definitely noticed that a lot of us were preparing for the exam during class time or preparing for STEP during class time. And it was funny. You could see, like, the timestamp on it, and it was, like, right at the end of our class, as soon as class had ended, and he's talking about you can tell if a lecture is ineffective because you have a bunch of students on Anki or on something else or Assassin's Creed. Apparently, yeah. Somebody in our class might have been on Assassin's Creed during class time.
Yeah, I think my screen might face exactly where he stands. So...
I'm guilty of doing quite a bit of other work while I'm in class sometimes. A
little bit of shopping.
Mm.
A little bit of Valentine's Day flower ordering.
I haven't tried... Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, I didn't order flowers.
Oh, no.
I ordered Grubhub.
That's fantastic.
If that counts.
That does count. That's way better. You can't really eat flowers. So.
Well...
Yeah, you could.
You could.
You don't.
Just might not taste good. All right, let's do our weekly updates then, huh?
Yeah, weekly updates. What else? We got our locations for our rotations.
Yeah.
Rotation locations.
Our rotation location from the lottery system.
Yeah.
Which we submitted 3 weeks ago and have been literally just sitting, waiting for 3 weeks.
How do you feel about your spots?
It's good. I guess... So for anyone who doesn't know, the way that it works is third and fourth year, you do set rotations, and each rotation can be at a different location based on what your school is affiliated with, which hospitals they're affiliated with.
Right.
So you submit a long list of prioritized locations for certain rotations. This is a tongue twister. so... Like, you would rank it, say you want to do surgery, you rank your top four surgery locations at the top of the list. And if you're maybe not that interested in internal medicine, you would rank internal medicine at the bottom of the list because you don't really mind where you end up.
Right.
So we just got the results back. I ended up at some pretty decent spots. I'm probably going to be central to Hartford, UConn for the most part.
Awesome.
At Hartford for surgery, which should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too.
And then UConn for neuro, Hartford for OB.
Sweet.
That'll be cool. That'll be a lot. There's going to be some high volume there.
Some real babies.
Deliver so many babies. I can't wait.
I think you're going to be really good at that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not bad at delivering babies.
That I know.
Would not go over well.
That's that's one there's not much room for error.
No.
So, hold tight.
Yes.
Hold tight. Or no, I don't know. We can ask Dr. Morasky.
We'll have
about
to
that.
Learn more yeah. before we say stuff like that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm pretty pumped for mine, too. Same kind of thing. I think we have very similar locations. I did get neurology out at somewhere that's kind of far away.
Out in the sticks.
And you told me that they don't have housing for it.
Yeah.
So I got to trek out there.
So it's the same location that there are two other ones there. You can do OB there and you can do inpatient med there. And for both of those, they offer the students free housing because it's such a far commute. And apparently they just added neuro there this year. And they haven't gotten a chance to find housing for students. So it sounds like you might be commuting every single day.
I'm on my own.
Yeah.
I think I'm the only student there, too, for neurology.
I
just made that up. No. I think,
No, for your, like, time slot, yeah.
Oh, time slot?
Yeah. They only do one.
Oh, boy.
Because it's kind of a small hospital and there aren't residents.
Right.
So you're just working straight with the attending, too.
Oh, that's a lot of power.
It's a lot of pressure.
A lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I tried to do OB there because it's kind of the same thing. You get to do a lot more.
Yeah.
But they also have housing.
Okay.
Which is better.
Yeah.
Maybe you can not just crash on the floor of whoever is living there.
Great.
Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe they have a futon.
We'll bunk up.
Be just like college. Go back and just sleep on the futon.
Exactly what I want.
Yeah.
All right, so we got that. We still have until, what is that, beginning of May, pretty much, for that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What about, do you have anything to look forward to post-step?
Post-step.
Is there a light at the end of the tunnel?
There is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Not the metaphorical train.
This light is not a train coming at us. I kind of just, like, impulsively texted my, like, best friend from home, who is working now. He's working remotely, and he's been saving up, and he's been wanting to do a lot of travel. And I really wanted to travel and do something because we have probably a week and a half
right
between taking step and when we have to do our orientation for rotations.
Mm-hmm.
But another tongue twister, orientation, rotation, location. And so I texted him. I was like, dude, we need to do something. I have a week and a half off. I'm going to break the bank. And I quite literally mean I'm going to be breaking the bank. But we're going to fly to Croatia for a week and a half, do a little almost road trip there where we fly into Croatia, travel up through Slovenia, do some like white water rafting, explore the caves up there, and then go down and do the coast of Croatia.
Whoa.
Which is nuts because I feel like one of the biggest things that I've been scared about going straight through with school is missing that opportunity to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm trying to make it a priority, I've actually gotten to do quite a bit of traveling
right
anyway.
Dude, that's going to be insane. I didn't know you were going to Whitewater.
Yes. Well, the day we're there, it opens. So like we're trying to do each location one day.
Okay.
Or like 1 or 2 days, I guess, depending on how big it is. So we are just happen to be in Bovec for one day, which is like the whitewater rafting capital of the world almost.
Oh.
And the one day that we're there is opening day where they do the guided tours for kayaks. And so obviously we're not very experienced. So we're going to take the guides and we're probably going to do one of the easiest courses. But as long as like just being able to do it and like be out there. I need to get my vaccine for tick-borne encephalitis.
Though. Oh, no. For tick-borne encephalitis?
Tick-borne encephalitis. Yeah. I don't know. I was like, I feel like whenever you travel, you should look at what vaccines you might need.
Yes.
And so I just checked it out. It happens that there's a very high prevalence of tick-borne encephalitis.
Oh, no.
In Slovenia. And they were like, for anyone who's there long-term or who's doing stuff in nature. And we were like, okay. We're doing quite a bit of that. So we might as well get our vaccines.
You're going to be up in there. Yeah, what else? Let's see.
What about you?
Let's see if I can apply my sketchy brain to other things you need to look out for. All right, in the water, in
ticks?
Maybe lepto.
I've heard it's very tropical in Slovenia.
Damn. I got to do more study.
All right. Cut it. We need to go do our research now.
That's going to be sick. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I've heard.
What about you? I've heard there's a little bit of internal debate going
on. Yeah. I'm trying to iron it out a little bit. One, finances.
Always a problem. When you're in medical school.
So I don't have much money of my own, which is tough. I really want to go on a trip with our group if possible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to work out, for me at least, but that would be great. Thinking maybe somewhere warm, which mm-hmm. would be really cool. Maybe, like Puerto Rico, which is like relatively affordable, but still like so beautiful and such a nice place.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then one of my best friends from growing up is out in California. And I rarely get to see him ever since he moved out there. But he lives in a sweet place, kind of like by the water, a little surf town in Southern California, which is like unbelievable.
Where is it?
He's just outside of San Diego.
Okay.
And so he's in Del Mar now.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, which should be so That'll sweet. Be I would love to surf, get out there, get some fruit, get some smoothie bowls. That was like the big thing when I was there before. I don't know.
Man, I want to get some good
food. Also, like,
strawberries.
Amazing Mexican food out there in SoCal. So there's that. But the other thing is, since I have that elective as my first rotation, I have a little bit of time. And so I have flights to Portugal.
Whoa.
And so we just have to plan everything that comes with that. But we have the flights, so we're flying into Lisboa.
Sheesh.
And I think it's like 7 or 8 days we should be there. But
you're pretty I wouldn't say fluent necessarily, but pretty experienced in Spanish language, right? Are you gonna brush up, like be able to kind of hold your own there?
Well, I don't. That's a good question. So I'm pretty proficient in Spanish, but my Portuguese is not great.
Mm-hmm.
I only know like very like highs and byes and like all done because my old boss that I worked for, it's weird saying boss, my old doctor that I worked with before medical school, she learned Portuguese because there's a big Brazilian population outside of Boston. And so she's like proficient, almost fluent Portuguese, and so
is it fair to say that they're relatively similar languages in terms of like learning experience? Like if you're proficient in Spanish, it is more than likely easier to then learn Portuguese, or are they kind of totally on their own, like learning French versus learning Spanish?
I feel like they're probably closer. Spanish and Portuguese are a little bit closer together than like Spanish and French are. But there's a lot of similarities in the words and then kind of like the syntax, the way things are structured.
So you might still be able to hold your own.
I think maybe with a little bit of Duolingo, I can get some phrases down.
Be careful
down.
With that app. That app is crazy. It'll come for you if you don't get on there in a day.
I know. The little bird is going to ding at me.
The bird making its TikTok videos now are terrifying. I don't know if you've seen them, but it's all over TikTok. It's taken over.
I haven't seen it, but I know it's possible after what you did before Italy.
And you have
with the cramming.
You have the whole like elective session and that time period after leap or a step to go for it. I think you could.
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
It'd be cool. It would be cool to at least like trash talk a little bit about Ronaldo on there.
I know you would get your head on a spike.
Yeah, that'd be it for me. Yeah. So that's what we got going on there. Yeah, some stuff to look forward to.
Absolutely. Any other updates? Anything else you can think of? I don't know. I feel like we're relatively boring throughout the week now.
Oh, I have the championship game for indoor tonight.
Ooh.
So this is kind of
crazy.
Wait,
they actually do championships?
Well, it's for first place. And if you're first place, then you get a t-shirt.
Whoa.
So.
Oh, really?
Oh,
I didn't know that. Okay, so our team is on our way to t-shirts currently.
Yeah, I think our code, we should probably take it.
Let's go.
I think
we'll
take it. I want
a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was part of it. I just kind of been playing.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Now I'm going to be so much more competitive.
Yeah, and t-shirt says champion. And they only
That's
give
a
out.
Flex.
They only give out one, like, every few months, so.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true.
So I'm pretty pumped about that. It's going to be a big game. It's two teams that I've actually played for, which is tricky. I filled in for the opponent for a few times. It was very fun. But now I'm back with the original guys. It's going to get heated.
It could. Now you know their tactics, though.
I do. They booted me from the group chat.
Ooh. Yeah. They knew.
Just for this week, though, apparently. We'll see. But, yeah, it's gonna be intense. It's basically like the team I'm on are like older guys, quote unquote. Nice experience season, ballers. The other team is all like current college soccer players.
Oh no.
So in shape, youth.
Yep. Less breakable.
Good tendons.
Yeah.
And such. And they have a real coach. So steep hill to climb.
I can be your coach.
Yeah, you can come.
I'll just
be our manager.
Absolutely.
Tie up.
I was going to say, I'll get dressed for the occasion. I'll come up with some tactics.
We're going to need you to get tossed, though.
What do you mean by that?
Like thrown out of the game.
Okay, I can do that. I can absolutely do that.
You got to fire the boys.
That's easy.
All right.
That's it. That's actually like what I plan on doing when I can be a coach one day. Just get tossed from every single game.
Coach Hurley style.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw a chair on it. No, I think we can make that work. We can do a little... I've been playing FIFA enough to where I can figure out some tactics.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
I think it's pretty much the same. Okay, let's dive into the application process here, if that works.
Yeah.
I think we don't want to take up too much time, but kind of walking through, like, how you chose the schools that you applied to, what made you say, I want to apply this year, where'd you, like, how many did you get an interview at, how did it end up, stuff like that, like, what worked, what didn't work.
Yeah, sounds good. Me or you first?
Go for it.
Let's take it all the way back. So I think when I think about like inspiration for the whole thing to get started, I think about like my pediatrician, the only doctor that I really knew until late into high school, when one of my buddy's dads, I talked to him like at a grad party, and he talked to me all about his job as an orthopedic surgeon, and that was like super exciting. And so that was before college. So going into college, I started to get a sense of the things that I needed to do. Luckily, my sister was also super into science, and she's PhD. So she took a little bit of a different route, and she's more in like materials chemistry. But she told me the sort of kinds of things that I needed to do, at least to put myself in a good position going into school. And so I went to Wesleyan University here in Connecticut, and they had a molecular bio and biochemistry major that covered a lot of the prereqs.
That, yeah.
It was so huge. So huge.
That probably set you up pretty nicely for, like, coming into this.
Yeah, so that was really good. So all of the major requirements there were also the pre-med requirements.
Nice.
And Wesleyan also does a pretty cool thing where it's like an open curriculum, so you have very little restrictions or bounds for what you can and should take to get, you know, like honors, mm-hmm. or at least qualify for that kind of thing, and get your degree. So that was pretty awesome. I also had still have one of my best friends from Wesleyan's was basically like an advisor to me. She's also in med school, and she is so organized, and she's always had everything kind of figured out. And so she helped me with like, hey, maybe take this or think about doing this kind of thing for your application. So shout out Mac. So she helped me out there big time. She's dope. And so I had the biochem, took me through intro chem, intro bio, organics, biochemistry in general, and then my upper level courses too, which was great. So that was all the coursework, and of course you have to kill it, like you have to kill the grades otherwise.
Yeah.
Like that's just part of it.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't want to say it's like a game, but those are like the boxes you have to check.
Yeah.
And so you have to do well.
And we did talk a lot about this in our interview with Dr. Regan.
Yeah.
He's the head of admissions here at UConn. And so we got to go through a lot of like what they're looking for specifically on the application, and the whole point, like the whole part of building your resume in college is kind of making sure that you have those boxes checked off, right?
Yeah.
And so once you get that done, then you can kind of move on to the application process once you think that you've had enough to qualify.
Right. Yeah, and I think like a good way to think about it is everybody's unique, so they have different things that they can bring to the table, and they do bring to the table, but like a well-rounded individual overall,
yeah,
is kind
absolutely.
Of kind of the key. And so I think about those pie charts that have kind of the different lengths of their pieces of the pie that come out. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
yeah.
And if you have those all very similar, then the wheel will roll. Like otherwise, if you have like a super long pie chart piece
Whoa.
Here, like it's not gonna roll, and you're
Whoa.
Gonna be like clicking.
Ooh, that's
so,
a good metaphor.
Yeah.
Is that a metaphor?
I guess so.
It's a good visual representation.
<Yeah. laughs> So you want the wheel to be round. Is what I'm trying
wheel
to say.
Round so that it can roll.
Wheel round roll.
And
caveman.
Wheel no round, no roll.
No roll. And so that's kind of what we had to think about. And of course I had like a lot of great friends at school, and we were kind of all in it together, which was great. The other important thing from undergrad, and that doctor that I talked to before going to undergrad told me, was research is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Or can be an important part of your resume. So at Wesleyan I got involved with a genetics lab briefly, just to learn some of the skills for like wet lab and bench work. I wanted to learn some of the process, at least beyond just the lab courses that I was taking. And that really was a springboard into my first research gig, which was awesome. After my freshman year summer, I didn't do anything having to do with research. I worked at a smokehouse.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I smelled like baked beans and brisket all the time, and I spilled it in my trunk.
Oh,
constantly.
No. Oh, that's not coming out.
So you don't have to do anything after your freshman year
no.
if you don't really want to, or if you want to make some money, like go and do that. So.
Like they'll understand if you need to work and make money.
Yeah.
It's not like give up everything so that you can work an unpaid research job
exactly.
just to get in.
Exactly.
Like admissions will 100% take that into account. That's what I did my freshman year. The summer between my freshman and sophomore year, I worked at a diner.
Hey.
Yeah. A diner and actually a moving company at the same time. So during the day, I would work at the moving company. All 165 pounds of me was moving these like huge cases and like big whatever. But then at night I would work at the diner, and like that was my whole summer, was just attempting to save up for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of go from there. I would do some shadowing in between and some volunteer, but it doesn't have to be like use your summer to do research. Like you don't have to if you don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah,
it
so
does
true.
Help, but like,
yeah, So true. And I think Dr. Regan also said, like, food service or service industry, it's kind of in parallel. So it's also, it was a really good experience. I met some really funny people and got some crazy stories out of that. So I did that. After my sophomore year at Wesleyan, I did some neuroscience research down at the Medical University of South Carolina down in Charleston. Shout out.
Beautiful.
Which good was, spot. Oh my God, that was amazing. If you can go and do research that matters to you somewhere that's like awesome, that's my big recommendation. So I lived down there for a few months, which was awesome. And it kind of gave me an interesting perspective into the kind of research that I'd be interested in doing and meeting people that are on that side of things. So that was great. And then it kind of, again, set me up for another application process. And I had a position at Harford Hospital in a research program in infectious disease the following summer between junior and senior year, which was awesome. And so I got to shadow a ton and see a lot of different specialties at Harford Hospital, which was great. Meet some really cool people. It gave me my first like real research presentation opportunity. So nice. I got to do that there, and then apply to a national conference and got some cool support from a surgeon that was at Harford Hospital, which was awesome. And then by the time senior year came around, I started to think about MCAT stuff. And starting to study. I had soccer going on too, so it was like a tough balance. Yours was
totally different, like having to balance a full-time sport.
Yeah, which was interesting, but it made time management really important for me. And so I was trying to balance that, and then I had my test date and everything in my senior year in March, and COVID happened a week and a half before my test, and so it turned out I was the last test date before everybody knew how bad it was going to get. And everything kind of shut down like a few days before my test date. And so life got pretty crazy at that point. So then I knew I was going to take a gap year. I got set up with a gap year program up in Boston and really lucked out. They actually kind of lent me out to a doctor who was in the Boston Children's preferred practice organization, and so I got to work in pediatrics for that whole year with just like such an awesome mentor. She's so amazing. I learned so much, and I really value that time.
She's the second episode we had
The second Dr. Higgs. She's amazing. She's so cool. And so she was so formative in like my perspective and what I hope to do going into medicine and what I hope to be like, truthfully. So I got to be up in Boston and go through the whole process there. So I, while I was there, I was sending in my med school application, filling out a few secondary. I only ended up doing a few secondaries. UConn was really where I wanted to be. It made a lot of sense, like being from Connecticut.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of a no-brainer, like financially and conveniently, and also it's like it's just a great place, and like I feel very comfortable. Known a lot of people that have kind of come through this system, which is awesome, and then stick around to serve Connecticut, which is very cool. All my family is still here, so it's been such a blessing between high school undergrad and now here, being around my family who's all still in the same town.
Yeah, that's
my
so
sister.
Nice.
My sister's like the only one, and she's still only like a half hour away.
Yeah, No, that's awesome. I think that's a pretty good process to go through, and kind of similar to like what I hear from a lot of people, and what it takes to get here. My process was a little bit different, I would say, in that I didn't do as much research. I wasn't so research focused. I turned more towards like doing volunteer work or doing like leadership roles and stuff, and I think that's kind of what took up my time, especially at school. I tried to join a couple of organizations that interested me, and then instead of, you know, spreading myself thin through a couple of things or through a bunch of things, I like really designated time to just a couple of things. And so I would say like focusing on leadership positions, obviously grades, like that. Yeah, it's just something that has to happen.
You have to.
And then outside of that, like one of the summers, I told you guys, the first summer I did shadowing and work. The next summer I did, I want to say it was like 3 or 4 week trip to Costa Rica where we did, it was like a medical mission trip and we worked in the underserved communities there for the whole time, which was an unbelievable experience. And they had us keep a journal through it. And I still have the journal. it's so cool to read through, especially cool. Like just reflecting on what my thoughts were in the process versus like how I've gotten to here. Mm-hmm. And so doing something like that, kind of broadening your horizons, getting out of, for me, like getting out of the East Coast, because that's really all I had known.
Yeah.
It's just a whole different world, and it really opens up, it really opens your eyes to like what's out there.
Yeah.
So that was a really big one. And then like just getting in contact with physicians and people who will do research and who will bring you in and teach you, because I think that's a big barrier to people, is that they don't think that they can get involved with something, or like, I don't know people, so how am I going to get involved with this?
Yeah.
And like Jack and I, the whole reason we got into this lab that helped us with the podcast is we cold call emailed.
Yeah.
I saw this lab online. I thought it was an incredible like opportunity. I didn't even know if they were hiring, if they were looking for students, if they only did like PhD students. So I just sent them an email. I said, hey, I'm Riley. I'm really interested in what you guys are doing. Here's my resume. Let me know if there's an opportunity to chat. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it just worked out. So like, you don't need to know the people to get involved, especially with research. I feel like research was something I always didn't know if I was going to have an opportunity to do, because I didn't know how to get involved.
Yeah. So true.
And I think the best thing that you can do is just take a shot at it, right? The worst they can do is not respond to your email.
Yeah.
And especially like if you have an advisor at school, I'm sure they have opportunities that you can look into. It's a lot of grunt work of just like not knowing if you'll get a response and shooting out emails and stuff, but if you stay persistent, something will hit.
Yeah, you gotta be gritty.
Yeah,
and just
we really do.
Be persistent. Mm-hmm. In like the most respectful way, but yeah, you gotta be persistent because people are busy too.
100%.
You're hitting up professionals that have like a lot of stuff going on, and they might just miss your email, or they might just think, I don't know, maybe this is just like a fleeting thing. But if you stay with it and you really pursue it, then you give yourself such a better chance.
Yeah. Just honestly look up a template online of like how to structure an email dedicated towards like expressing interest in something. Kind of follow that, but then tailor it to exactly like what you want to do with each opportunity that you are emailing for.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of websites out there too for kind of like career services, like LinkedIn or
I was big Handshake. On LinkedIn for a little while. Yeah, so
like all those things. And so there's job postings up there, but...
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. A sponsor. <Just kidding.
laughs> This podcast is not sponsored by...
but even if there's not a... you just whack your leg. Yeah. Even if there's not a job posting, per se, on somebody's website or LinkedIn profile, whatever, that doesn't mean that there's not positions available.
Just ask. Yeah.
You know, just put yourself out there.
Yeah. So the only research I did while I was in college was I did a follow-up paper on the trip that I did to Costa Rica.
Sweet.
And I was comparing the healthcare systems of what I saw there versus what I saw here in America.
It's very cool.
And so that was really a pretty cool experience to do that. And then there were some classes through Clemson, which gave me an opportunity to shadow in a bunch of different places. I got to shadow in like labor and delivery as a junior in college, which was
crazy,
an unbelievable experience that we can get into another time. Maybe if we get one of our OB-GYN specialists here on an episode.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But yeah, I think big takeaways, like every experience in college is unique. You want to check those boxes in some sort of a sense, but like Jack said, make a wheel.
Yeah,
make a wheel that rolls. And try and get at least something in every category, but like really focus on it. Don't spread yourself thin across a bunch of different things, right? Like Get involved in something that you actually appreciate, and that when somebody asks you, why did you do this, you can genuinely say, I really had interest in doing this and I really wanted to help through this organization, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, everyone's process is going to be different. Doesn't mean yours is the wrong one. I was a general bio major. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything fancy going with it. But that still got me every single prerequisite that I needed, and I could see like what types of classes I like to do. It got me through. I did like anatomy and physiology as well. That was really big. Yeah. If you guys have the opportunity to do that, I would do that. But yeah, do what you want to do. Like, make your application yours.
Yeah.
Don't just do things because you think it's what they want to see.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're so right. Of course, like there's some things that you just have to push through. Yeah. Like, of course.
Yeah.
That's part of it. But if you're like enjoying
the MCAT, I'm sure you don't want to take the MCAT. Like, it's probably not something you're looking forward to.
But
you
gotta do things that you enjoy too along the way.
We can do like an episode later on, like our prep for the MCAT. I feel like that's a good one because I feel like a lot of people have questions on how to approach taking the MCAT, like what resources, all this stuff.
I think we should lean heavy on you for that one because I would do it completely differently.
Well, that's I feel like that's a good thing then.
Yeah,
like,
I guess I could talk, I could talk about that too.
My process, I'm not going to get into all of it, but like I studied for so long until 3 or 4 weeks before my exam, and I was like, I just need 2 more extra weeks. I'm going to push it back 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Turns out that that test date that I pushed it back from was the last test date that they did for COVID. So my test date was the first one they canceled for COVID.
Oh, no.
So I got pushed back an extra 4 months from taking my test, which was just a whole experience inside of itself. I took my test at 6:30 p.m. I didn't get out of the testing center until after midnight.
That's terrible.
I remember taking my test, walking out of the center, and just laying in the grass. I was just like, I pretty much blacked out from adrenaline when I was taking the test, and then I don't remember like the ride home. I didn't drive because I knew I was gonna be just gone.
I did not know that it was what happened to you.
It was crazy. It was just such an unbelievably unique experience in taking it, and I still did like as well as I'd hoped. Mm-hmm. But it was just such a shit show, honestly. That it's a good story, but we'll get into that a lot more later.
Yeah.
Dang, we didn't even really get into the app process that much. That was kind of background.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, we have a class coming up. So, really, really quick, I guess. Or we can kind of hold this till the next one. But I guess broad overview of, like, application process was filling out the general application and picking a target group of schools that you feel like not only are of interest to you, but like you are most qualified for.
Right. And I think the important resource for that is that it's MSAR.
Yes.
Right? So that's the one.
That was huge.
All of the kind of metrics for
that was like the biggest thing. Like, okay, I have my MCAT score. Where does my MCAT score fall into the range of?
Right.
Right. And then you can see exactly how many students they take from in-state versus out-of-state. So if you're not from Florida, don't apply to Florida State. They took. I remember this one because it stuck out so vividly to me. There were like 5,000 out-of-state applicants. They took 3. Yeah. They took 3 out-of-state kids.
That's unbelievable.
So like, unless you have a perfect score and you have a really, really good tie to Florida, maybe don't apply.
Yeah.
You know?
Save your money.
So you can, because everything costs money. Every application costs money. I think MUSC, their secondary cost $100, and there wasn't an essay or anything. It was just like, put in your information for the third time and then send us another $100.
Yeah. It was like, prove that you're very connected to South Carolina.
I was like, I went to school here. I didn't get an interview there. So it's really about figuring where your stats qualify you for, because that first step in getting an interview is being qualified. Mm-hmm. And then using that to then like narrow down the list further as to where you have an okay chance at.
Right.
So like I feel like some of the big schools that I remember, like Loyola Chicago, they're a private institution, so they take out-of-state kids a lot. Georgetown, okay. Similar. And those are all places that are looking for people with average MCAT scores, but with a very unique story.
Okay.
Right? So there's always something that you fall into the range of, and then you want to double check, like cross-reference that they're not taking purely in-state kids or okay. looking for a specific set of people.
That makes sense. Yeah. And so once you go through that first application through AAMC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you get these secondaries that open up a few months later. I think they're the first application part, there's like a pre-process that's late spring.
It's just, yeah, and you have to do your personal statement. That's like yep. the big essay that's in that.
So you do that, and then you start to get secondaries back over the summer.
Please have somebody proofread your personal statement.
Yeah, as many people.
Like, actually, I had probably 15 to 20 different people look at it, and it doesn't mean you have to make the adjustments every single time that somebody looks at it, but just yeah. make sure you're not leaving in spelling errors that are easily seen.
That's a bad.
Yeah, like,
that's bad.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I had to interject with that because I've seen personal yeah. statements that have that, and I'm just like just have people yeah. proofread it if yeah. you can.
Yeah.
Even if you're not that close with them, just be like, hey, can you check this for grammatical errors.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, that shouldn't be like an embarrassing process or anything like that. Because that's
mine got torn apart.
That's
by
your
some
personal state. That's important.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Mine got torn apart by some people to edit it.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely do that. You get your secondaries back. And I think it's really important to have, keep track of all the ones that you're doing, of course, but maybe have a document of all your secondary responses. Because a lot of them are very similar questions that you can tailor to each individual school in the yeah. question. And so that will save you a ton of time. And it'll also kind of refine your answers too.
Yeah.
So then you'll have really great responses. So absolutely. You send in those secondaries.
Do that as early as you can.
Very early.
it's rolling admission to almost every school.
Yep.
So apply within 2 weeks of the opening date. Once they send you a secondary, try and fill it out within 7 to 14 days. That was yeah. kind of like the timeline that I did. I filled out a lot of them within 3 to 4 days because yeah. a lot of them are similar questions. So once you have a good answer, you can refine it towards what like the new question is, but you have an idea of what you're going to write already.
Right.
So yeah. just do those quick, but do them well.
Yep. Totally. And then you get those in and it's a waiting game, baby.
Yeah, you just hope. you just hope. I interviewed at 3 schools. I got waitlisted at 3 schools. And I got off the waitlist at UConn in June. Mm-hmm. So this was like after mm-hmm. I hadn't heard from places for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of like fell out of contact. I had reapplied everywhere for a second go around because I was like, I know that I'm qualified. I just have to like figure out a few things, I guess. Like maybe refine my personal statement to do whatever. And I refined the schools that I applied to because the first time around I just shotgun shot.
Yeah.
And the second time I applied yeah. to probably 12 or 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's but yeah, it's just don't give up the hope. Even if you get waitlisted and you don't hear back, people get in so late.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Yeah. This is, you've put in the time and the effort, the reflection. You've done like so much work. To decide that you want to do this, and mm-hmm. so don't give up. Absolutely.
Like, even if you go through one application cycle and it doesn't pan out, that happens to so many people.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to yeah. not only get an interview. If you're getting an interview, congratulations. Like, that's a big deal. They only interview, most schools interview under 10% of the applicants.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, take pride in that. If you didn't get an interview, that's totally okay. Like, they're just, make sure you're reflecting on what you did in that first application process and try to be self-critical, but in like a positive way, in a constructive yeah. way, yeah. because you can learn from a year or a round of applications that didn't go well and completely readjust to
yeah.
now that you know what's the process is like
yeah.
and you know what to do for next time.
Yeah. That's a great point. And I think, if you do take a gap year, maybe multiple gap years, do something that you want to enjoy, but then something that's going to help you learn and grow.
Yes, absolutely.
It's important to be doing something that is conducive with medical school and then the medical profession, something that's going to add to your overall picture, your wheel. So, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Pretty good?
Let's do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really hope it recorded.
I think it did.
I think so.
I think we just have to hit stop recording.
Okay. All right. Until next time.
Not cancel. Pause.
Stop recording. All right.
Cool.
Until next time.